This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I know I've been hogging the mic here, as they say, and Tim's probably got 10,000 questions to ask of you. And I'll obviously throw one other monkey wrench into this whole deal, and that is they think this guy who passed the test of being a Paul McCartney lookalike but was a more talented instrumentalist took over when Paul died. What if the other Paul came from another dimension, since we're talking about UFOs?
Well, I don't know. You know, then you're entering the realm. Sure, you throw that out there. I mean, everything else has been suggested. It's a fun theory. It really is fun. And again, I would have been open, because I'm not a fan of McCartney's solo work at all, and neither was Lennon or Harrison, by the way. But so if you had said he died, I don't know, in 69 or something, not 66, considering what came after that, and especially the solo career, I would say, well, yeah, he really did go down in quality, I think, you know, but that's not the demarcation point. It's 66, and a lot of his great songs were written after that. That's what's hard to accept, but... And certainly, I point out that if the Beatles did engineer this as a promotional stunt, it's not like it was illegal. And so I think if Paul and Ringo confessed to it at this point, I don't know, would fans feel betrayed? I some people might think it was cool. I don't know. But the mystery was cleared up. I'm not really sure why. And the rationale behind it makes no sense either, because it's not like rock stars hadn't been dying. You know, in plane crash, I mean, Buddy Holly and you know, Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones died in a very suspicious accident. He was one of the, you know, vied with Mick Jagger for the lead role of the alpha male in the Stones at that time. A lot of people think Mick Jagger and those guys had him off, by the way. But there's a strange element behind that. But the Rolling Stones didn't try to find a replacement, Brian Jones, and nobody else ever thought of that. And that's why I talk a lot about, you know, especially in the entertainment field, you have cases where, starting with Jim Morrison, where people think that somebody faked their death, that they didn't really die. Jim Morrison, you know, all the way to Tupac Shakur.
Somebody claiming to be Jim Morrison called Art Bell on Coast to Coast back in the 90s.
Oh, is that right? Art Bell had certainly had an interesting show. But, that's... Of course, you know, there's some sense there. 27 years old, dying of a heart attack. That's pretty young. He did do a lot of drugs. Or even Andy Kaufman, the entertainer, where he was, you know, so wacky that it would be something he might do. But at some point, if you fake your death, you think he would reemerge. But McCartney's stands alone. This is the only case I know of where they claimed some celebrity died, and they covered that up and replaced him with someone else. I don't know of any other case of them doing that.
Also, he died in the wrong year, because he was born in 1942, and when we have the show played on the air, which is going to be June 18th, Paul will be 81 years old. Now, assuming it's the same Paul. The thing here, being born in 1942 means that he was 24 years old in 1966. So if he was going to die the same way that Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain... and Jimi Hendrix and Brian Jones all died, it would not have happened until 1969.
Right, 20 to 27 Club, sure. And again, that would have opened the minds of people like me, because I would have been much more receptive to that theory, as I said, just because I think his music after that point was pretty crappy for the most part. And I'm sorry. I mean, some things that were good, I guess, but for my taste, anyhow.
I think his lyrical quality went down. I know, of course, he really was highly acclaimed for the theme for Live and Let Die, the James Bond film, with the first one with Roger Moore. Right. But the lyrics of that song were dreadful.
Yeah. He never was much of a lyricist, I don't think. But I just have a hard time believing that, you know, the guy that wrote Penny Lane and Long Winding Roads, again, that would have been, I guess, Billy Shears. could write silly love songs and let him in and, you know, coming up. I mean, I just hated all that stuff. I said, God, I can't believe that's, and the other Beatles did too. I mean, that John Lennon wrote How Do You Sleep, you know, kind of poking fun at that. And George Harrison's right there playing guitar, smiling when he's playing it. And, you know, Harrison notably said, I'd be in a band with John Lennon again in a minute, but I would not be in another band with Paul McCartney. So I think that whoever it was, McCartney or Billy Shears, they had Lennon and Harrison, especially Ringo has just got along with everybody. But I think Lennon and Harrison both thought, hey, you know, we're at a different level musically. This guy is in his granny, whatever he's doing, it's not what we're doing. And I think they kind of looked down on him.
Let's take this story back to the beginning. All right. What supposedly happened? Paul McCartney died in 1966 some way. Yeah. Take it from there. What musically, when would this have been? What would have been their previous album just before he allegedly died?
Okay, so it was November 9th, 1966. Supposedly a car wreck. The legend goes that he stormed out of the studio, which I think that's the first indication. That almost sounds like the new Paul. You know, I don't think there was any indication that there was turmoil with the Beatles in the studio, yet that came in the later years with Paul. Mm-hmm. That's kind of an odd, but that's the way the story goes. And supposedly there was a woman involved. Lots of people speculate, you know, one of the legends is her name was Rita, and that's why the song Lovely Rita was written about later. But, of course, Paul or whoever said, no, you know, she was a meter maid that gave me a ticket. I just thought I'd write a song about her. So who knows? But that's the theory. And, of course, one of the legends is that he was decapitated, which we also saw in the Jane Mansfield car crash, which that wasn't true. It's kind of a morbid detail that was added to it. But that's the story, is that he was killed in the car wreck. And the other Beatles and the management, you know, Capitol Records, again, but this is, they never did it for anybody else, but they were supposedly so mortified. How will the Beatle fans react? And so they made up this legend, and they never toured again. Now, that's one point you can say, that they did not tour after this supposedly happened, and that's one of the main pieces of evidence the people that believe Paul is dead use, that, you know, they never toured again because they didn't want to have the fake Paul out there. But, you know, the fake Paul has been on his own many times, and I don't think anybody looked on the stage and said, you know, you're not McCartney. So he certainly looked enough like him to pass the test. So, but that's basically what they claim happened.
And he also performed some Beatles songs in his own concerts. Now, today, Paul McCartney's voice is really shot. It's really rough because he's been screaming like Little Richard for 70 years or so. So we can see where that happened. That would make sense, his voice deteriorating. Ringo is the same. I think Ringo is really some kind of robotic AI creature because he never changes. You see him on stage, and they've got the current All-Star Band has just some fabulous people there. You know, if you look at the makeup of the All-Star Band, people like Colin Hay of Men at Work and Edgar Winter and Steve Lukather, who's one of the best session musicians in the world. That's the guy from Toto. You have all these people, and he gets up there, and it's Ringo. He may be 82 years old or something like that, but it looks like he's 55 or something. That would be something, an AI. I would think if there's an AI involved there or some kind of clone, Ringo is the guy.
Well, Ringo's in, seems to be in remarkable shape. We saw McCartney around 2009 at RFK Stadium in D.C., and we saw him for free because for some reason he couldn't sell out, and the grocery stores were giving away free tickets, so my wife got a dozen free tickets. So we saw McCartney for free. So, and it was a really good concert. He stayed away from his, I think, his worst solo material, and he played a lot of Beatles songs and unbelievable energy, you know, for his age. So whoever it was, him or Billy Shears, put on a good show. And then we saw Ringo with his All-Star Band, and the guys you mentioned, he didn't have Edgar Winter, but he did have the guy from Toto and the guy from Men at Work a couple years ago. Pretty good, but Ringo, and maybe a tip of the hat, it was age, because I've never seen anybody do that. He took a break. He sang a few songs, and then he ran off stage and said, I'll be back, and then all the other guys did their stuff, and he was gone a full half an hour at least, and then he came back on and did a few more. So, but, you know, it was just so great. You know, I had seen George Harrison when I was young, and I never got to see Lennon, my favorite Beatle, because he never toured in my area. And so one of my regrets. But so seeing 3 out of 4 Beatles isn't bad.
Hey, we've got Don and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We'll continue to trace this theory about Paul is dead in a moment. I came within one day of talking to John Lennon, interviewing him. This is when they were doing the bed-in in Canada with Yoko.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, where they do the song Give Peace a Chance.
Yeah.
And I get the note. I'm working at a radio station in Vermont, Springfield, Vermont. And my friend UPI gets this thing he feeds on the wire that Lennon is in Canada. So I call the hotel. I'll get an interview with John Lennon. Let me make a stab at it. What the heck? He left the day before.
Oh, jeez.
The only time we came close, of course, is that when my wife was going for her rehearsals, because she's a singer and she was doing stuff, we would always pass Dakota Apartments in Upper Manhattan. That was it. Going back to the theory, okay, he's killed in a car crash, whatever. Where did they dig up this guy? Where is the Paul McCartney lookalike contest? When did this happen?
I don't really even know that there's any evidence there was a Paul McCartney lookalike contest. I really can't find any stories about it, but I don't know if that would have generated a story. I don't know if those things usually do. But that's the legend. But it's also convoluted because there's also, you can find videos online of supposedly finding this guy, William Campbell, of approaching him at his house, and you know, so that makes no sense, because if he's taking the place of Paul McCartney, who's this guy? So it gets convoluted. And really, the most solid piece of evidence they have, and I apologize for forgetting exactly, but it revolves around Paul's arrest in Japan for marijuana possession. And supposedly they took his fingerprints, I believe it was his fingerprints, there, and they had supposedly independent investigators investigating these claims, and they claimed it wasn't his fingerprints. I apologize if it's not that. You know, I read a lot of books, and it's in the book, though. But, you know, I found, okay, well, you know, and there's, you know, someone suggested, the last interview I did about this, they made a, you know, really plausible suggestion. I probably should have thought about it myself to include in the book, but simplest way around this is to do a DNA test. McCartney's brother is alive still, his real brother, so just do a DNA test. And that would, you know, shut the rumors up. And, of course, if you don't, I don't know that anybody suggested that to him and he refused to or something. But if you do that and you refuse, then it does look like you kind of play into the hands of the conspiracy theorists in this case.
Where did the name Billy Shears come up in the first place?
Well, Billy Shears, the name is on, you know, the Sgt. Pepper's album. You know, let me introduce you to one and only Billy Shears, and it's supposed to be Ringo. So I don't know if that's why they chose that name. The guy's name is supposedly William Campbell, also known as Billy Shears. He's generally referred to as Fall or Fake Paul, you know, in that world. But yeah, you run into people that are, I mean, they're really positive about this, and you're stupid if you don't see it. And yes, you know, okay, whatever. You get, look, man, nobody can say I poo-poo conspiracies. And I'm just saying, you got to explain the rationale behind it. Why would they have done it? And you got to explain having a guy that's that similar to somebody. And you know, if you accept the conventional view of McCartney and said, I'm you know, I don't admire him quite as much, but I got to admit the guy wrote some great songs and he's incredibly prolific, right? And to find another guy like that that can do it, that was hiding in the shadows, wasn't fronting his own band, I just think it's a little much to believe.
In the course of your book, there, you interview lots of people in show business about this, and one of particular interest to me was the late Richard Belzer. Now, we'll all remember Richard Belzer for playing this character, Detective Munch, on like half a dozen different TV series by different producers. Most recently, of course, Law & Order, SVU. That was really, really interesting. But he was also a conspiracy theorist who wrote some books on the subject. So what did Richard Belzer have to say?
Well, I don't think Richard Belzer bought this, but Richard Belzer had my same publisher. I'm good friends with his co-writer, David Wayne, who came from the same kind of background I did, the JFK assassination forums back in the day. But yeah, Belzer, they wrote a book called Hit List, and they were very active in the Who Killed Princess Diana and things like that, Marilyn Monroe. A lot of cases like that, and certainly he was in my world, and a very unusual guy, you know, for Hollywood, because Hollywood, at least the people that, you know, they kind of, again, they're afraid to speak out on a lot of this. You have Randy Quaid types, but I wrote a book before this. My last book was called On Borrowed Fame, Money, Mysteries, and Corruption in the Entertainment World. You'd probably love that, because I have a lot of these things. And I investigated John Lennon's death. I think, you know, again, I think that was a conspiracy. Marilyn Monroe's death, John Belushi, and, you know, lots of Natalie Wood. I've had Lana Wood, her sister, on my show a couple times, very nice woman, who was an actress and a James Bond girl herself, that, you know, firmly believes that we were lied to about that, that Natalie didn't die by accident. So there are people out there that believe this. And the entertainment world is, I'm fascinated by it because it's the only other world besides politics where you see these huge body counts. You see, only in politics or the entertainment world, like this, somebody's ex-girlfriend gets stabbed 40 times or something and be found in hedges, as Graham Nash's ex-girlfriend did once. That doesn't happen. The general worlds of business, you know, construction workers or file clerks, it just doesn't. But there's a lot of crossover there. So that world interests me a lot. And I didn't address the Paul is Dead rumors in that book, but it has a lot of good mysteries in it.
Now, the one thing I think about there in terms of that, wives and girlfriends, one of William Shatner's many wives drowned under what may be suspicious circumstances. So before we get back to Paul McCartney, did Bill do it?
Well, it was a very strange death, and I talked about it in Unborrowed Fame, and Jerry Lee Lewis did him one better. You know, Jerry Lee Lewis, two of his wives died strangely. And one of them, I think he was found at the home where she was murdered, and I don't know. I think if he hadn't been Jerry Lee Lewis, he would have been brought in right away, I think, for questioning. But you literally can get away, I guess, with murder in some of these cases. But yeah, that William Shatner's, and I get his wife and Jerry Lee Lewis's wife mixed up. Shatner's was the one, I think, that died in a bathtub, I think, and Jerry Lee Lewis was found nude at the bottom of a pool or something. But there's so many of these things that happen out there. And I've even come to, I would love to get a hold of Randy Quaid. He's impossible to find, but I think there's something to his Star Wackers theory, you know, because I look at some of the deaths of these guys, and there's no rhyme or reason for them.
When you mention Randy Quaid, that's Dennis Quaid's brother.
Yes.
Randy Quaid did a great turn as this UFO abductee in Independence Day.
Yeah. Yeah, he's that would be perfect for him. He's clearly a conspiracy type guy, and but you don't know a lot of times whether these guys are acting too, because if you watch his videos, and he's a great actor, could still be acting. I don't know. You know, this and that. There's a scripted element to all this too, and I play around with that as well, as how much of this stuff is theatrics, and say, you know, for it's just. I write about controversial subjects on purpose. This Beatles book is probably my least controversial book by far.
We got to break it. The least controversial book with Don, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
U.S. USA News Update. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says he can state with confidence that I-95 will reopen within the next 2 weeks. A stretch of the interstate has been shut since last weekend when a bridge collapsed as a result of a tanker truck fire. More than a dozen people are reported injured after a Baltimore City bus crashed into an apartment building. A total of 17 people were hurt, but none of the injuries being reported are life-threatening. An Arizona man was killed in what is being called an exceedingly rare bear attack. The 66-year-old man was sitting in a chair on his property when the adult male black bear attacked him and dragged him about 75 yards. A neighbor shot and killed the bear. A majority of black Americans believe racism will get worse during their lifetime. The new poll by the Washington Post and Ipsos also found that almost 70% say it's now more dangerous to be a black teenager in the U.S. than when they were teens. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Don Jeffries here, who has covered lots of conspiracies, and he's co-author of From Strawberry Fields, co-authored with Bob Wilson, A Billy Shears Story. And we'd asked him, of course, about Richard Belzer. By the way, there was one great episode of Law & Order SVU where his uncle was played by Jerry Lewis. And Jerry Lewis played this crazy old man who is there or not there and accidentally kills people every so often. Do you remember this episode, Don?
No, I didn't watch it, sorry.
Mariska Hargitay, the daughter of Jane Mansfield, is the main star and a producer and director of Law & Order SVU. That ties into the conspiracies.
Very cool.
All right, so we have talked about Richard Belzer. You talked about so many people in show business and ask about it. Do these people even take it seriously, or do they look at you and say, who's this crazy guy?
My connections in show business, I'm just saying, On Borrowed Fame explored the nature of fame, and most of these people are... They were big at one time, but, you know, like I talked to somebody from the Cow's Hills, somebody from Love and Spoonful. People like that, Richie Furry, who was at Buffalo Springfield and Southern Hillman Furry Band, Poco, a very nice guy. You know, this is one of my buddies, Susan Olson, Cindy Brady, the Brady Bunch, who was in my world. You know, she wrote a blurb for my last book about COVID, and she, you know, she's a real conspiracy gal. You know, she's a girl after my own heart. So we've become really friends, and, You know, Sally Kirkland is another one who was, I got to know her through JFK because she plays Rose Sheremy for opening scene at JFK where she's trying to warn about the JFK assassination. Really cool person. She has so many contacts and we hit it off as well there. And so these are just people that kind of like I can call and they usually answer me. Not all the time. And so I had these people that I thought would be perfect for this. And a couple people turned me down. They weren't interested. You know, I can't believe you don't know about the Beatles. But most of them just wanted to talk about, they kind of put themselves in it, but they also talked about, because of course to everybody, you know, I haven't met anybody who said, yeah, I hated the Beatles. I never liked them. You know, I was a teenager at the time and I thought they were overrated. They all love the Beatles. And the book is, you know, just kind of recounting that. And I won't give any more spoilers as to whether or not they buy the Paul is Dead thing, but they all were fans of the Beatles.
Interesting how popular they are. There is a full-time channel on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 18, The Beatles, and they still have a show there called Breakfast with the Beatles, and you see lots of stars coming on there who love the Beatles through the years, like the Bangles especially.
Yes, yeah.
Of course, they're 10 years younger than the Beatles were. They're in their 60s now, and they're still performing mostly.
Yeah. I believe Bob and I, or maybe just me, are going to be on Breakfast with the Beatles. That's what I heard from the group. Because we also, Bob is good friends with Ivor Davis, who's a longtime British journalist living in America now. And he toured with the Beatles during their 1964 tour. He stayed in the same hotels with them. He experienced Beatlemania like nobody else. And he was also just as added attraction to me. He was in the Ambassador Hotel the night RFK was shot, too. He's been everywhere. Really, really great guy and very sharp. And I think he's hopefully going to make that happen for us. We'll be on that show.
Well, since being close to things, I'll give you one more before we go on. A week before the burglary at the Watergate, I spent the night there because my late uncle was a former official with the Department of Agriculture. And after he retired, he became a consultant and made lots of money. And, of course, during the 70s, we stayed at his condo at the Watergate. And then when Nixon resigned, the day he resigned, my first wife, Geneva, and I were driving right near Washington, D.C. See, we caused it.
Hmm.
We caused it all to happen.
I can't top your stories. I did go to a party at the Watergate in 1979, 1980, and I'd never been to a place where they had a grand piano in the, you know, in the living room, and people were entertaining. I don't even know what it was for. It was through my mother-in-law who had a big job back then. That's the closest I came to it.
Hey, let's look now at the clues in Beatles songs. Now, supposedly here, after McCartney died, allegedly, if you listen carefully to Beatles songs or play them backwards or whatever the heck is involved, you may find clues that were left there for no earthly reason that I can think of, but maybe you can tell me what it is, were left there to indicate something is weird about Paul.
Yeah, well, the most notorious probably was on Strawberry Fields, because if you play it backwards, it's John says, I buried Paul. John explained that and said, no, I'm saying cranberry sauce. And if you listen to it, I don't know, it kind of sounds like either one. You know, who knows? But I don't know.
There's a section there at the end of the song where it actually slows down. And the guy instead of, he speaks very slowly. And they think he said, I buried Paul. When he really said cranberry sauce. Or so it could be, cream cheese bagel.
I don't place a lot of credence in the backward masking and all that stuff too, but some people do in my world. That is one, and I think I tried to play my records backwards then, and I couldn't figure out it. I was afraid of ruining them as well because I took a lot of pride in my record collection.
Disc jockeys in those days to cue up a song, we spin the record backwards to get to the first tone. So a lot of times the records at radio stations, the first few seconds are very scratchy.
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, so it's that part of it, I don't know. I mean, and one of the clues that isn't mentioned much, I heard lots of things like, John Lennon's Come Together. What is he talking about? Come together over me. I mean, is he singing in Paul's voice that, people are coming together because he's the corpse. You can read so many things into it. And of course, Lennon had fun with it. because Lennon alluded to it twice, you know, on the White Album. I have quotes from him and Harrison both in the book that where he's really, you know, kind of angrily saying, how can people be so stupid to believe this, you know? But, you know, in Glass Onion, you know, he notably says, here's another clue for you all, the Wall versus Paul. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in his How Do You Sleep song, where he's attacking him, he said, those freaks was right when they said you was dead. So he addressed it when he wanted to. I don't know. It's a there's a lot there, more than I can remember. There's this sleeve that Paul is nonsensically wearing, I don't know if it's inside of Sergeant Pepper's or Magical Mystery Tour, but he's wearing a jacket with OPD, the initials OPD on it, on the sleeve. And I think it was Labor came over. That means officially pronounced dead, which is the way they say it in Great Britain or Canada or something. It's like, well, who knows that? I mean, I guess, you know, if you're a college kid, oh, okay, I guess how they say it over there. And, of course, the real thing supposedly was in Ontario Police Department. But why is Paul, a British guy marketing greatly to America, why is he wearing a Canadian jacket with the Ontario Police Department to begin with? There's nothing in that album that really relates to Canada. So that is the questions I ask. You know, okay, I can accept that. Yeah, that doesn't mean officially pronounced dead, but why is he wearing something from the Ontario Police Department? What's the purpose of that?
And don't forget, John Lennon once saw a UFO.
Sure, yeah, he was really into that. Yeah, and he mentioned UFOs in his solo music several times. And Lennon, I talked to, or I communicated with Paul Krasner, who was a big figure in New York, you know, very leftist politics. He wrote was with Mae Brussel, who you might have heard of, the conspiracy guru. Like, I wish she was around. I think I would have hit it off with her very well. But she was really out there back then, before the internet, and her show was very popular. They're still on YouTube. You can get a lot of them. And Krasner was associated with, I think it was The Realist was the name of the publication that they wrote for. But and of course, Krasner was out there to such an extent. And, this really seems gross, but I almost had to admire him for coming up with something so ridiculous. But, you know, he's the one that, kind of like a Paul is Dead clue, he published the theory that the LBJ attempted to have sex with JFK's throat wound.
We've got Don and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I remember Krasner from my days in the 60s. All these counterculture kind of publications. Like, remember High Times?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
My first wife, Geneva, was one of the associate editors of High Times. And you didn't have to be high to have that, by the way, to be part of that magazine. I don't think. I don't know if she wasn't the kind of person who'd routinely get high, although we all did what we could do in those days. But we once hooked up with this psychiatrist in Brooklyn, New York, who was an associate of Timothy Leary.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you're going to talk about conspiracies, there's a line in the Moody Blues song, Timothy Leary is dead.
Right.
No, he's on the outside looking in. I'm just approximating that here. So there's another theory to go with there.
Yeah, I mean, and Timothy Leary is, I've angered some people, but it is what it is. Timothy Leary admitted that he was CIA, and that's just out there. So was Gloria Steinem. Gloria Steinem was outed as CIA as well. And in my Hidden History book, I talked about how they've, how the intelligence agencies infiltrated both the left and the right, the KKK, the Black Panthers, and all that, and, I mean, Gloria Steinem's magazine, Ms., one of the early feminist organs, was financed by Cord Meyer and the CIA. Cord Meyer's wife, of course, Mary Meyer, was murdered in Washington, D.C. Many people think she was the mistress of John F. Kennedy, and she was actually studying the Kennedy assassination. So these things are, you know, when you get into this world, the dominoes start falling, you know, because there's so many connections to each other. But, yeah, Leary was also connected to... one of the books that influenced me the most as a writer, my novel The Unreals was the first thing I had published, and it was very greatly influenced by the Illuminatus trilogy that was written by Robert Anton Wilson and Robert Shea, very popular in the 70s. They really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. And later, he wrote a bunch of things about the Illuminati. It's the first time I heard about the Illuminati, the people that run the world. And he wrote Cosmic Trigger, Final Secret of the Illuminati, and all these things about Illuminati. And all the books, he talked so much about Timothy Leary because he was a good friend of Timothy Leary's, of course. So it may be suspect about him because of the fact that Timothy Leary was a CIA. And also, he was also good friends with a guy named Kerry Thornley. When it goes to the minutia of the JFK assassination, Thornley was a Marine comrade of Oswald's, who was let's just say all of Oswald's other fellow Marines had like a page or less of testimony in the Warren Commission, Warren Report. Thornley's went on for pages and pages and pages. He's the one that said they called him Private Oswald. He's the one that painted the picture of Oswald reading the Daily Worker and the Marines and all these things. And all you need to know about Thornley is he was writing a book about Lee Harvey Oswald before the Kennedy assassination. Thornley went on to become a really odd guy and with a lot of strange connections. And I'll have more about that, you know, in the next book. But Thornley was very influential. When I was reading Illuminatis, I did not realize that a lot of the weird things they were saying, they kept talking about this philosophy of Discordianism. Well, come to find out that Cary Thornley was the one who made up this nonsensical stuff. You know, like one, it's just these crazy things that didn't make any sense. But so he was friends with Thornley. They were friends with Thornley and Timothy Leary. So it made me wonder about them. And that's what happens when you scratch it. You wonder about so many people in my world, because there are these kind of crazy connections. I know I strayed far from the Paul is dead thing, but that's kind of what I do. I tend to ramble.
Well, you know, there's so many conspiracies to look at, and sometimes they are interrelated, just like we got John Lennon involved in the UFO mystery, for example, because he had seen UFOs, and of course the most famous instance being when he was in the nude with the girlfriend supplied by Yoko, Mei Peng.
Yes.
And they saw a UFO in New York City, and nobody seems to care about that. But we all remember the lyric and the song and everything, so that was certainly interesting. All of these worlds intersecting, you know, like the Shaver mystery, UFOs, the Kennedy assassination.
They do, and you can go deeper, and I play around with that all the time. I don't know what it means sometimes, but it plays into the concept of a kind of a Truman Show element, and I play with that theory a lot. Because I'll just give you an example, like 9/11, which of course I've written a lot about as well. One of the witnesses they just happened to go to on the street. You know, they went to a few witnesses on the street, and I think they were selected for a reason. But one of them was a woman named, and I can always forget her name, Rachel something. But anyhow, she just looked like she was sailing the street. They just, you know, oh my God, it's terrible and everything. When Tiger Woods had that scandal with all the women coming out of the woodworks, and some of those women became kind of minor. They had their 15 minutes of fame as well. And one of them was that same girl, Rachel. Now, is it possible that she just happened to be the one they interviewed on 9/11, and then she just happened to be the one that was one of his mistresses? But those, I see those kinds of things all the time, that, you know, they don't seem to be related, but why are these people popping up like that? And I've written a lot about that stuff in my, and it drives you way down to the bottom of the rabbit hole, but that's where I am, at the bottom of the rabbit hole.
Okay, bottom of rabbit hole, another story. Several weeks before the 9/11 incident, the wife and I and our son Grayson go to the World Trade Center. Been there before, and the last part of the building is a tower, and you go up there by an elevator. Now, I've been up there before, and I'm not great with heights, but I tolerated that in the Empire State Building and Statue of Liberty and everything. This time, I got to the level below that where the elevator was, and there was a little coffee shop there. I could not get on their elevator. I was scared. I was practically shaking. I couldn't stand it. So my wife and my son went up there for a while, came back down. I couldn't wait to get out of that building. In fact, when we first entered the building, to show you what was going on, I dropped my camera. Okay? And it damaged it enough so we couldn't use it there. It was repaired later. It wasn't serious damage, but couldn't take pictures. Remember, this is the day of cameras using real film. Not, of course, the digital camera and everybody having a camera in their smartphones these days. I never had an experience like that before or after. A few weeks before, sensing dread beyond my ability to cope entering that building.
Well, just I don't know if you want to go there, but just a couple of things on that. I mean, again, I wrote a lot about this in Hidden History, and the next volume of Hidden History, which is kind of becoming a series for me, they seem to sell better than my other books, so I'm just going to keep writing them because I enjoy it anyhow. But one of the guys I interviewed was a guy named Scott Forbes, who worked in the World Trade Center, And he wasn't there that day because his group was off, so none of them died. But he was clearly so fearful. And this was like, I probably talked to him in 2012, 13, something like that. So over a decade afterwards, the fear was still palpable in his voice, just like it was in Seymour Weitzman's nephew's voice. The people that I talked to, they were still scared. And he had moved to England. And he talked about how, again, these guys, you got to realize when you talk to these witnesses, that's what impresses me. They're not like Don Jeffries. They haven't been down this rabbit hole since they were a teenager. I mean, I've been awake since I was a teenager talking about conspiracies and everything, you know. I'm probably not credible on a lot of things just because, everything's a conspiracy. But these are sober people that are not in my world at all. This guy was a businessman, and he thought he was a patriot. And so he tried to go to first the New York Port Authority, I think it was, and the FBI, and then later the 9/11 Commission. And he thought he had relevant information, which he did. He said, you know, in the couple weeks leading up to the event, we saw stuff we never saw before. We had these strange work crews coming in. We weren't really sure what they were doing. The security cameras weren't working. I had been there for many years, and I'd never seen this, and I thought it might be relevant. So nobody wanted his information. New York Port Authority didn't want his information, FBI, 9/11 Commission. And the 9/11 Commission, like the Warren Commission would do, they just wrote up, even though this guy, again, knew better than anybody, he was there. They said something like, there were rumors that the construction and all this stuff going on, but they were unfounded. So that's the kind of stuff that makes you, makes you wonder. And one other story that goes really down the rabbit hole, and I made a lot of this. And most other researchers, and I guess that's why I have the people that are interested in me to do, because I talk about this, nobody else does. But one of these human interest stories they've tried to make so many human interest stories out of 9/11, obviously, great tragedy and a lot of human pathos there, right? So one of the things they stressed, there were two women that victims, and they always flew together. And the media reported this. You know, they said they always flew. They always took their trips together, never flown separately before. That day, they were unable to get a seat on the same plane. And they died in two of the three planes or whatever. The problem is, the same people that told us that all of those airliners were at like 20, 30% capacity. So there's no way they wouldn't have been able to get a seat next to each other. So those are the things I ask those questions. Nobody else does. And so, I don't know. Sorry to go off on a tangent again, but I thought that was interesting.
More interesting stuff to deal with Don, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.